All right. Hello, everybody. I am going to get a few things set up. I'm going to rename myself. How is everybody tonight? See you all coming in. It's lovely to see you. I'm going to open my chat. Where is everybody coming in from today? I was a little bit worried, I'll share with you, because I am in north of Toronto, Minnesota. Okay, Sarah. I am in north of Toronto, Ontario, in Canada. And holy moly, we have been having tornado warnings and thunderstorm warnings. And I was like, oh, I sure hope my internet's going to hold out. And about half an hour ago, I was coaching a client and I warned her ahead of time, if my internet goes, that's what's happening. But it passed. It's like nothing happened outside. I swear to God, 20 minutes ago, it was raining ferociously, sideways rain. It was crazy. And here we are, all better. So, all right, we got people from everywhere: Florida, Wisconsin, Alabama, Texas, Georgia, and Minnesota. I love it. So, welcome everybody. This is I am Coach Lisa. And oh, thank you very much. Betty says, I look great tonight. Love your hair. Well, thank you, Betty. Yeah, once I'm owning the curliness. So once we get everybody in here, you may raise your hand. Anybody can raise their hand if you would like to be coached tonight. This is the body image and sex call. We try to do this call once a month. You're in for a bit of a treat because the next call is actually only 2 weeks away. So I want you to think about if this is free coaching. And it can be anything related to body image. It can be anything related to sex. If you have been to these calls before, you will know I am very open and willing to discuss anything with you. I do have some things that I prepared to talk about. So I will try to make sure that there's some time for that later too. And because I don't know how many of you caught Corinne's nighttime eating workshop that we did this past Sunday. But one of the things I really wanted to bring to this call was the concept of our identity. We talked about it there as far as like, how do you identify as a nighttime eater? What do you say to yourself? What do you think about yourself? But man, is this ever related so much to our body image and to our sex lives, to intimacy, to everything. So I really want to be able to go over that as well here. So like I say, I want you to raise your hand if you want to be coached. But yeah, we're going to talk about this as well. The idea that sort of came to my mind is that we all kind of have just this identity or what we think about ourselves, about this is who I am. I don't know if she's here, but on one of the very first body image and sex calls that I did, one of the members came on and talked about lipstick and the idea of growing up. If you wore some kind of bright colored lipstick, then like I forget what it was, whether she was a whore or a slut, I don't actually remember. But that was the idea, right? That she shouldn't be doing that. She should not be, that bold. And we really talked about the fact that, like, so that's like an identity thing, right? We think if we do this, then that means this is who we are. And what if it just doesn't, is the thing. So we want to look out for those things in our lives as far as what are we equating to what? Are we equating things like, if I do this, then this is who I am? If I think this, then this is who I am. And the truth is, it's just not that easy. And that's what I really wanted to talk to you all about tonight, was the idea of working on our identity, creating that identity, but then you got to practice it. You've got to practice living that identity and being that person and seeing, one, if that's actually who you want to be. And two, doing it enough so that it is actually your identity. Like, it takes time, it takes practice. So I want you to think about that. We do have a couple people with hands raised. So I'm gonna call up the first person and then we can touch base and talk about this a little bit more too. Because I do want you all to think about how you, what your identity is as far as your body image goes. And then when you're thinking about sex, if that's something you're thinking about too, is what is your identity towards intimacy? Who are you when it comes to sex? And then really questioning, why do I think that about myself? What is it that I'm doing or saying that's creating that identity? All right, I am going to call up Sarah. I have you coming up first. So, like I said, open coaching tonight. Raise your hand and I will bring you on up here. Hello, Sarah. How are you?
Okay, how are you?
Good. Well,
Good.
thank you for raising your hand.
Yeah, you bet. So I have struggled with my weight all my life. I've always had to work kind of hard to maintain a healthy weight.
Okay.
And then I have a 4-year-old son, and my husband and I started trying for a second baby about 1.5 years ago.
Okay.
And we have not gotten pregnant. We've been working through some infertility treatments and working through that process. But all of that to say, I've always struggled with my body image because of feeling like I needed to lose weight and having acne and things like that. But this infertility piece has really just added another layer of not liking my body because not only does it not look how I want it to, it also just isn't
Working.
working how it's supposed to. And so I'm just not really sure. I'm
Okay.
having a hard time taking care of my body in a way that'll help me lose weight just because I don't like my body. I'm in kind of an I'm just in a negative place with it, and so I'm not sure kind of where to go.
Okay. So thank you for sharing that with me. I have experience with that. I have a daughter who lives, her and her husband live in our basement. They too went through infertility, and have they did I they ended up doing IVF. Their baby is now 3 months old, so they were, I'll just they were lucky. They she realizes it now how lucky she was because their first implant, she ended up getting pregnant and maintaining the pregnancy. So I've been there. I understand it. I've witnessed sort of what she has gone through. One of the keys is, so I guess my first question to you is, are doctors telling you you need to lose weight?
No, that hasn't been part of the conversation. It is in my head, but no one has said that out loud.
Okay. So then that's something to consider. Medically, that's not what they're questioning right now. So now you get to work on that body image and that relationship you have with your body, because we want to think about loving your body, surrendering to your body, and allowing it to do what you want it to do. Like when we are creating that resistance, everything just feels so much harder. So this is going to be really important to you for you to look at how do I go about that? Was you said you have a 4-year-old, and was that like you had no issues, nothing came up with that? No.
Exactly. Yep, no issues. And so to then have issues the second time around was a surprise and probably made it a little more jarring too.
Yeah, because we end up saying it's not supposed to be like this. Yeah, like you even said, oh yeah, my body's not working how it's supposed to, which we don't know. I don't know how spiritual you are or really anything like that. I just tend to believe, okay, things are happening for a reason. We can work on just relaxing and surrendering and giving our body credit for what it's trying to do. I get that you're not going to necessarily love your body. Like you're like, come on, hurry up. But it can be so much more peaceful for you to work with it and be really helpful, especially, depending on exactly what you're going through. There's going to be things like hormones that are going to be in flux. A lot is going to be happening. So, what do you think you're supposed to be feeling right now?
I just have such a hard time because it feels like it's all in limbo. I mean, if there was a deadline of by this date you'll be pregnant, then okay, then you can deal with it in the meantime. Or if you knew it's never going to happen, I mean, I think that would almost be easier to deal with too, but just there's no guarantees at all. And so I just feel like I've put my life on hold waiting for something that might not happen at all. And I don't know where to go with that.
Okay, so when you say you're putting your life on hold, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, even, taking better care of myself and losing weight or going and even doing things. I mean, we haven't done much, we're not huge traveling people, but just every month you have appointments, and so you work around that, and it's a lot of time that you're and mental calories that you're burning on it too. And so I just haven't really given myself breathing room to still do fun things or, do things I enjoy.
Okay. So, but you want to get pregnant, right? So
Yeah.
one of the keys is telling yourself this is something I want. This is fulfilling that it could we could consider it fulfilling that bucket of I'm doing something I want to do.
Yeah.
Because no one's forcing you to do it, right?
Right.
So putting your life on hold because you're taking better care of yourself, what does that look like? What do you have to do during this time that's different than if you were to take care of yourself outside of this?
I have to hold things more loosely. I like to control and have my list and my schedule, and this is what's happening when, and this is something that I can't
So
have.
not having control is not comfortable.
Very uncomfortable.
Yeah. So that could be what you could work on is that allowing that feeling of discomfort. Have you ever done like a body scan when you've had a feeling?
I'm not familiar with that, no.
Okay. So that's where we kind of if you're feeling the feeling, this discomfort, are you feeling that at all right now as you talk about this with me?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. Where do you feel it?
In my chest.
Okay. What does it feel like?
Kind of tight, like when you're scared or when you're hesitant.
Is it like hard to swallow a little bit? Kind of like, yeah, kind of catching. Okay. So if you do a body scan, you're kind of like starting at the top and just feeling your way down and going, my head feels fine, but then I feel this feeling right here. And you sort of think about breathing as you picture this feeling. You kind of check out if doing a true body scan, you sort of feel through your body and see, are you feeling it anywhere else? But if you know for sure, like this is exactly where it is, then we can work on just feeling the feeling for a second, breathing through it, and seeing if we can shift it at all and have it settle down. Because if you want to choose to do what you're doing, then this may be the feeling that's going to come up at certain points. So we want it to be something that you're familiar with and that you're comfortable with some techniques of, okay, how do I calm it down? How do I have a different relationship with this feeling and kind of bring it along for the ride? Because the truth is, you're in a situation where the only control you do have is over how you take care of you right now. And over whether or not you do it or not.
Yeah.
You can create certainty for yourself by just saying, no, I'm done. There is always those options, right? That's the key to tell yourself is I do actually have options. What if this
Yeah,
is what I want? Yep.
that's helpful. I haven't thought of it that way of having options. I mean, like you say, I mean, I didn't choose this situation, but we are choosing to pursue what we're doing. And so,
Yes.
that is a choice. And like you say, I mean, we could stop, and that would also be a choice. So even just acknowledging that there is some control there is helpful, I think, that I can't, there's plenty of things in this that I can't control, but there still are things that I can, like you were saying about, I can control how I care for myself and finding those small ways to do that.
Yeah. And you can control how you treat your body. And the identity, that's what I started talking about at the beginning, the identity with which you kind of label yourself. Right now, you've been saying, like, ugh, this body's not doing what it's supposed to do. That who? Just because other people do it? Just because, well, we did get pregnant once. What the hell? That's the resistance to this being normal that we want to work on. Because this is your reality right now.
And fighting it is only making it harder.
Yeah, making it harder on you. Possibly those around you, I don't know. But yeah, you're making it harder for yourself. Yeah. And that's why I say, like, thinking it through and working on making peace with these kind of feelings that come up. There are a bunch of different techniques because what it is your body, like, it's exactly what you said. This isn't supposed to be the way it is. Like, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. Your body's got this warning system that's coming up. This is how it's telling you with this feeling here. So there are techniques like we started doing with the, scanning your body. Is it anywhere else? Once you identify that's where it is, you know exactly where it's coming from. You know it's coming because you're feeling like I shouldn't have to do this. We're feeling like out of control. Now we want to practice moving this feeling around. And you can do that by things like this, tapping your chest. Loving yourself, like putting your hand on your heart, kind of, and just breathing and picture yourself like breathing it out, whatever the discomfort that you're feeling. Those are different techniques for actually taking care of you. The next part is to question, is it coming from what you're thinking? Because sometimes if it's coming from a thought that you're repeating over and over, then the thought is what's generating it. So if you keep telling yourself, oh, this isn't how it's supposed to be, well, you're going to keep making this feeling come up, come up, come up, right? So then you want to get real like we did and go, maybe, but it is how it is. So now what? What do I really need? And what you identified today was you need control. What else do you feel like you actually do have control of if you think about it?
Probably more than I think. Like you were saying, I can control how I care for myself, and that is something that is gone by the wayside. I can control how I'm spending my time. You can spend a lot of time researching every supplement and what everybody else did and what all, and none of that is helpful necessarily. I mean, I can go with what my doctor's telling me and what I feel to be right, and that's what I can control, is accepting where we're at and what it is right now without having to figure the rest out.
Yes. Yeah. Trying not to think too far down the road as far as this goes, like pay attention to the stage you're at and what the doctors are telling you to do. And it sounds to me like what you're saying is by making decisions. So, how much am I researching? Whose advice am I taking? And what lengths am I going to? I mean, yes, let me tell you this. I saw my daughter go through it all, getting rid of everything that's plastic, only using glass, only organic vegetables, supplements that, like, pills that were delivered in packages every month. So they'd have, like, There are a lot of roads you can go down, but again, all those roads also, you want to measure what the benefit is. Because the more obsessed we get about it, the more we're buying into as well that things can't work the way we think they can.
And buying into those different things too also feeds the narrative in my head that there's something I'm doing wrong, there's something I'm missing. And if I just did X, Y, or Z, then it would work. And that is not helping the cycle of all of, yeah, I hadn't thought of it like that, but it definitely makes sense.
It's taking you out of what I am doing, what I can do, and putting you into what I should do. And people, we do that all the time with weight loss. I mean, you'll see that all through the membership with weight loss is, oh, I should be doing this. If only I did this. And then we forget about just what the four basics are. So they're going to be very helpful for you with this too. Try not to get too far off the path of, as far as my weight goes, focus on the four basics. Get your water in, get your sleep, take care of yourself, do self-care things, and work on doable hunger. That's it. And those are going to be things that are going to be very helpful for you today and you in the future. Future you still needs to do all those things.
Yeah, that's really helpful. That gives me a lot to think about.
So just keep in mind that, what you say to yourself about it, you're in limbo. What am I trying to put on hold while I'm in limbo? Taking care of me? That's not in limbo. Here you are. You're here right now. So, like, there's no limbo about that. But I do get there are sometimes waiting periods and we're going to test this and we're going to test that. And then we got to wait for this type of thing. There is that stuff. But most of those things do have dates too. So don't forget that as well. You probably are given a little bit more structure than you're giving yourself credit for too.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, right? I get it. All that structure is okay, but if we get pregnant at some point, it's done. But there is a runway of structure.
Yeah, that's true. That's how you look at it.
It is how you look at it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you
Well,
for coming. Thank you for being vulnerable. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about with this?
no, that was it for today. Thank you.
All right. You're so welcome. It was great to meet you, Sarah. All right. Bye-bye. I'm going to, oops, click my buttons. There we go. Okay. So thank you to Sarah for coming up. You guys are all quiet in the chat today. I don't see any other hands raised right now. The other thing I want to make sure everybody sees is you can post questions in the Q&A. You can post, there's a little Q&A box at the bottom. So if you have any questions, you can post there anonymously. And you can also post questions in the chat. Let me tell you, this group of women that are here, a lot of them are very knowledgeable. So if there's something, you want to get some crowdsourcing on, you certainly can. All right, Amy. Come on up, Amy. Saw that hand pop up and I'm trying to call you up. Promote to panelists. There we go. Okay. And then we have one more after that. Where'd you go, Amy?
There we go. Can you see me?
There you go.
Oh, hey.
You and your kitty. All right.
Yes. What is it they say? First time, first meeting, long time member. Something like
Yeah.
It's my first call. So, the who am I when it comes to sex? That triggered me. Well, maybe got to thinking in two different ways.
Yes.
So, and how that answer is different now as a woman in perimenopause, but how it all kind of started, like where my sexuality journey started. So I came from a family where you didn't talk about it. You didn't even talk to, I have four sisters and two brothers, but we weren't even talked about like our periods or like anything about our bodies or sex. Whenever you mentioned earlier, there was somebody who said they were kind of conditioned, like if you did a certain thing, you were like a whore. So like in my family, it was wearing polka dots. If you wore polka dots, you were going to make men lust after you. And my mother,
I swear, I've never heard that, but okay, everybody put away your polka dots or you're going to be chased down by men.
Right. Okay. And then, so my mother was someone who never painted her nails. So not your fingernails, not toenails, or pierced her ears. Because her mother had told her, again, those are just things that draw unwanted attention your way. And so I think we were kind of like, there were these random, like, don't do those things, but there was never anything about your body, sexuality.
Yeah.
And so
that's a message that's deeply ingrained.
Yes. Right?
That's what we want to keep in mind. Inside my body, whether I think it's nonsense at this point or not, there's a version of me inside who's pretty sure this is the way things are.
Right.
Okay.
And we weren't allowed to even say fart, let alone vagina, penis.
So. In my family, you might have let one.
Right.
You let one. You didn't. I couldn't even say toot. Toot was you let one. What the hell are you letting? I don't know, but you let one.
And it was almost like, that's just even so, that was even frowned upon that you would even not only do it, but even say anything about it. So it was almost like, and it wasn't like a, you know, it was not in debutante school or any of that stuff too. But the irony of it all, and again, it all makes sense. So, so I was pregnant in high school, my senior year of high school. I was pregnant my entire year of high school. So like, I got pregnant in September, graduated in May, had my daughter in June. So my daughter will be 33 in June. And so I went from someone, the words I wrote down initially before I had ever had sex were scared, curious, shame, embarrassed, because I just felt like everyone else knew more about what it was, and insecure. And I think the insecurity came with my body. Well, then when I had my daughter, when I was married, well, the best part, like, wait, there's more. I was actually taking, I think this is where the embarrassed and the shame comes from. So I was actually taking a Planned Parenthood class in high school. And I was like the best student until I got pregnant. And I even remember my teacher going like, really, Amy? Like, because I was not a promiscuous student. I wasn't wild. I was really more just, you know, like, again, there's that judgment, like smarter than that, right? Like you wouldn't go and have unprotected sex. You're smarter than that. So then it was, so I was, so I think I tried to right a wrong by marrying the father and trying to go that route. And I remember even being told like, well, you've messed up. So you know, try to clean it up. So then after that, it was anything around sex was like, well, just don't mess up again. And so there, I think was like the shame, like, well, don't
somehow a mistake.
Yeah. So it's bad enough you got pregnant one time and, you know, you were young, so don't mess it up again. So then I was divorced, and then it was, well, what kind of example are you setting for your daughter? You know, statistically teenage pregnancies result in teenage pregnancies. And so I think I just, well, for one thing, I mean, like the first person I slept with, I got pregnant by and married. And so there was no exploration. Right.
Okay. So really formed a big picture of you and your sexual identity.
Yes.
Okay.
And then
so
even,
how is that carried forward now, 33 years later?
Sometimes I think, you know, I'm 50 years old and I've only slept with like six men. And I'm like, are those numbers low? Are those numbers high?
I have to do a poll. But I don't know. Like, how many are you supposed to sleep with?
I don't know. I just, there's a part of me that wish I definitely would have slept with more. But I remember having almost like a stranger danger. Like, that thing was very personal to me. And this is like, I've never had a one night stand because I never thought I could be comfortable enough. Just because to me, being naked is like one of the most vulnerable places to be, right? To completely be naked and be sitting in front of someone you don't know and allow them to touch your body and enter your body. Like, that to me was like stranger danger. Like, let's don't do that.
Well, also to think your first experience when you were a teenager resulted in something that ended up ha being scared, shamed, embarrassed, insecure, like a big fuck up, essentially.
Right.
Yeah. No wonder it, those things then get attached, that becomes like attached to the identity of you as a sexual person. That makes a lot of sense, Amy.
Yes.
So normal.
Then I didn't know how to talk to my daughter about sex other than here's what you want to be mindful of. Like you can, fertility is high in our family. You will get pregnant as I am, you know, but I didn't know how to talk to her about like, hey, it's okay to touch yourself. This is what bastard. And my daughter, actually, I did try to like get us in some mother-daughter classes, but my daughter was like, I don't want to talk about this stuff. It was almost like she was born like, nope, I don't want to talk about it. I'm like, I'm trying to break cycles here. I'm trying to close generational cycles. And she'd be like, I don't want to talk about that stuff. So I would sign us up for these courses and try to create a space where she didn't feel like I was like, no, we're going to talk about your period and what that is. So still to this day, we can kind of make jokes about stuff, but we don't talk about sex, you know, and it's still almost like with her, like, I don't want to hear about it more. And not that I want to be like, I want to tell my daughter everything, but I can kind of see like maybe I'm still almost like repressed a little from how I explore sexuality. And then now I've been married for almost 10 years and I'm in a sexless marriage for a variety of reasons. And so now I'm like, and going through perimenopause. So I'm like, am I relieved? This has bothered me.
Tell me, are you?
Well, I think it bothered me for a while. So a little bit, just a little backstory, kind of like the why. So my in-laws have lived with us the entire time my husband and I have been married. And I noticed my husband was not comfortable. So it kind of started out with it's an awkward situation, people in the house. But then my husband's 15 years older than me. And so some of
So did
the
you
changes.
notice it? Or like, did you talk about it?
I noticed it. My husband definitely was not going to notice it because to notice it would mean, you know, there's a failure there. I would bring it up and I would just kind of get the, well, I mean, you know, like it's just weird they're here. You know, that wasn't our plan, was to live with them. And it was just like, I'm just not comfortable. But then it kind of turned into more his body wasn't able to do what he wanted it to do. And I think it was like a, let's just,
Perfect form of
yes.
different things going on. Okay.
Yes. And
So, are
then,
you thinking you want to make a change to that?
see, now I know I don't even, it bothered me for, and honestly, I was trying to think about this on my way home from work as I was thinking about this call. And I was like, I cannot remember the last time I actually had sex or we had sex. Probably 2 years, what is this, 2025? Probably a couple of years. And so it used to bother me because I would think, like, this is not like I'm young and like I should be having, you know, and there was a part of me that's like, maybe,
Again, right?
yeah, or like maybe my husband would be like, just go frolic in the streets, you know, or
Put those
something.
polka dots on, Amy. Get out
Right? I'm all
there.
paint my nails, I'm gonna put my polka
Yes.
dots on.
Great
And
lipstick.
then, oh, absolutely. Yeah, the lipstick was on mine too. Like, you
Very
know, only
best.
whores wear lipstick. And then I think it was more, was I making it mean something because we weren't having sex? Like that meant something about our marriage? Or was it more why we weren't? Right? Was it the absence? I think I had read or heard something like sex is not a big deal until there isn't any sex, then it's a big deal. And so I kind of worked through that. Then I got to just like a, I guess I just accepted it. Like, okay, well, I guess this is how it is because I'm not leaving.
Yeah.
Well, then I hit perimenopause and now like I could care less. So now I'm like, my husband's probably like, wish perimenopause, not that he wished perimenopause I got here earlier, but he's like, it almost kind of took the pressure off of him because in the process of going in, I went off of birth control. I'm now on an HRT. And so then now all of a sudden he's like, oh, I got some Viagra. And I'm like, not interested, but we should have talked about that first. So now I'm like, yeah, is there a sexuality as a perimenopausal woman who's trying to get her hormones? And I don't know, like,
What if it's something that's in flow? But it's like we kind of we it sounds like you want to put some kind of judgment and make some kind of decision about, okay, this is what's going to happen. either we should have sex or we shouldn't have sex, or we need to address it or we aren't addressing it. And then we want to like judge that and give it a name and say, okay, this is what it is. It's a problem. It's not a problem. It's fine.
Right. I want to do it or don't want to do it. I want to do it with my husband. I don't want to do it with my husband.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then I think it's where you're like, I don't know. It'll work itself out, I guess. Or am I making decisions from a lack of what I feel physically? Or like, am I not stimulated enough? Like, maybe is it a lack of, well, if I would stimulate myself more, maybe I would feel more interested or aroused.
Well, that is definitely possible because definitely it's my knowledge and my experience, kind of the more you have, the more you want. The more it's talked about, the more it's part of your life, the more it's, that there's some flirting and that there's connection and that there's actual intimacy, then the more you're likely going to want. So it's sort of. It sounds to me like you're bringing it up for some reason. I mean, you raised your hand on this call today to talk about it publicly.
I know, right?
As
Hi.
public as this is,
Hi,
yes.
everyone.
It's so appreciated because you know what? So many people have very similar issues, right? So, but it is a question of is it intercourse that's missing, or is it intimacy and connection that's missing?
For me, I would have to have the intimacy in order to have the intercourse, because again, I'm not just never been comfortable just having that without the other. No judgment on that. I kind of wish I could have. Again, I kind of wish I would have maybe had more one night stands. More, it's kind of, if I go in that space, I'll kind of be like, well, if I hadn't had a kid when I was 17, then I would have gone straight to college and then I would have partied. And like, who knows, maybe I would have, but I probably would have been just as conservative.
Yeah, who knows? Again,
So
it's just okay. Is that helpful to think about it? That probably not. It's not going to
yeah.
get you movement from where you are today.
Right.
So if we think about where we are today, there are ways you can explore your own physical sexuality by yourself. Have you thought about doing that?
I have. So I do have, I mean, I do have like a vibrator, and I do,
Will you use it?
I do. But it's funny because I hide it. Because I'm like, oh, I don't want my husband to see it. And then part of me is like, I'm gonna leave that thing right out in the middle of the bed so he'll ask questions. But he probably will be like, he'd probably look at it and just be like, I'm not going there. So move along. I think too, it's weird because, well, it's not weird, it's ironic that I married someone who, and I'll just use the word like kind of like vanilla, has kind of more vanilla taste when it comes to sex. So it's like traditional, it's. And I even remember when we were still dating, I was like, let's do it out here. He's like, no, like it would always be in the bedroom. And it was just always like the same. And so I was like, oh, I kind of married someone who had very conservative, like wasn't open to like toys and really understanding like what foreplay is. And so I almost like, it's like unintentionally married, like almost someone who was just as conservative, if not more. And then 15 years older than me, who was raised different, also raised in a family you didn't talk about sex. And although my husband had a lot of partners, and then I was like, I guess I felt like I settled for that too, like, oh, I'm with someone who isn't like sexually curious. And but I had been with someone who has, I did have around, I kind of did like my bad boy phase, I guess, where I dated this guy. And that's actually, if I have, make sure my husband's around the corner. But like, if I have like sex dreams, it's always with that, with him. And I think it was just because that was, that sex, I guess, was more fun, more, there was more of a variety.
Well, that's good to know because it's part of you understanding your sexual identity and what kind of what you're into, maybe. Like
Right.
if they're like flashbacks to what you did, then yes, you know it's what you're into, but it's so, sort of like you get to decide if that's part of your identity of who you are now. That's actually a topic I was, or one of the points I was going to talk about today, because I have dreams and I remember my dreams very clearly. And so often I'll share them with my husband. And this morning I was sharing my dream with him. Well, I told him in my dream I was intimate with a woman. First thing he says to me is, "So, like, you're a lesbian now?" And I'm like, "What? No. Like, that does not change my what I dreamt about does not change my identity. It was a dream. Like, it was something that, and I mean, I have been, but I, no, that doesn't mean that's what I'm acting out of today, right? So just because you have dreams of this doesn't mean it has to be your identity and like, oh, that must be what I need. It could just be something your brain wants to play with and think about.
It's funny you say that because I actually have had some of those dreams recently too, where it's with a woman and it's really more about her saying her knowledge of I have the same, body. I know the erotic zones of women, and I really think it's more. Yeah, I don't think I didn't wake up and be like, oh, I guess I'm a lesbian. I should journal about that. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, like I say, I mean, I have been with women, but I'm not, but yeah, it's just that it doesn't have to mean that's your identity now.
Right.
So, and I think we even think that sometimes just with stuff we think even consciously when we're awake. Oh, I've thought this, so now I gotta deal with that. Just because you thought it, you have to deal with it. No, how about you just say next?
Really? Right. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Think mine's just about somebody like truly paying attention to me and someone truly like investing time into like.
Yeah.
I want to make you feel good. So I want to,
Yeah.
I guess because I've been in Novia so long, I've learned to be like, what is that probably about? More, going to, the scientist, not the judge.
Yeah.
But yeah,
So
when
I
I just kind of be like, yeah, that's interesting. It's probably about attention.
Yeah. So then that's what you want to look for and see. So I think somebody in the chat mentioned like getting away or something like that. And that's what I was going to say to you too. As far as I think for you on your own, exploring what do I actually like? Make sure you get out of your own personal rut if you might be in one too. Like just the way you said, well, I have a vibrator and I use it. And it's like, one. How about we maybe, explore? Are there different types that you like? Are there like, and maybe you have lots, that's fine too. But really just make sure you're not also putting yourself in like a lane of this is my identity, this is how I get off, and then I'm done. Sounds like you want a little more care. Maybe it's gonna, start with a bubble bath or start with some nice lotion or light a candle, something to give it to yourself and recognize, okay, this is what works for me. Because then those things that you find work, if you're like, no, that candle drove me nuts and was distracting, we're not going to use that. The bubble bath, that was great. Or a massage that day first, that was fabulous. We can gather that evidence and that information. Then when you go to your husband and say, look, can we maybe find a caretaker for a night so we could get out of this house, go out on a date? Spend the night at a hotel or something like spend some quality time being connected and explore being intimate. Get him to grab that Viagra of his in case he decides you decide you want it. But then you can also have some tools to say, here's some things I like. No, don't light a candle, or yes, do light a candle, right? That kind
Right.
of thing. And then explore. What do you think when I say all that?
Don't know if I am attracted enough to want to have sex. I'm just being honest. I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know if, but I don't know that I'm attracted to anybody. That's the thing. Is it because we've just morphed into roommates? And so when I look at him, I'm like, like sometimes I'm like, he's a handsome guy and stuff, but like, am I ever like, God, he's so fucking hot. And I just like want to just jump on him. Like, no. And I don't know, is that because of my body? Is that because an
It could be
acceptance?
because you also haven't thought about that stuff for a while. I mean,
Yeah.
it was something you were attracted to with him before. So you can approach that the same way that we talk about our own body images. And lots of people don't like parts of their own body or most of their own body. So what we work on is, okay, what is one thing you like about him? But let me tell you, my husband has a great ass. And it's not much, but like I am so attracted to that ass in a nice pair of jeans. It's so nice. But does he have like a gut? Yeah. And if I just look at that, am I going to be, no, I'm not going to be swooning. But if I think about the parts that are very attractive to me, whew. So there
Okay.
could be things like that as well that you can explore. You also don't have to have sex with the man. I mean, there's nobody, again, putting a gun to your head. And remind yourself, it's you that's saying we should. But it could be one of those things that you explore and you give it a chance before you write it off as, well, I guess we're just roommates and we're done with it. Because if you're saying you're choosing, I'm going to stay married to this guy, then if you're saying you want to explore at some point more connection, intimacy, sex, then you're going to have some conversations.
That's probably what I need to journal on is where do I just naturally see that he is attractive and
Yeah. Or where did I?
yeah. Okay. I want
So,
to leave stuff. You said you had some stuff, so I want to make sure I leave time for you to go over the stuff that you
all
have to
right.
do.
Well, thank you so much for raising your hand. And I'm sure
Thank
we gave
you.
information to people. So, all right. I do have a question, so I will go put you back down. All right. Yes. Thank you, Amy. We do have one more person with their hand raised. I am going to promote you to panelist. Hello, Mary.
Hi.
How are you? Think
Again,
about.
one of those long-time watchers, first-time caller.
Excellent. Well, thank you for giving me your voting virginity. There you go.
My issue is more just body image.
Okay.
Couple of weeks ago, I was on a cruise with my husband. We were celebrating our 20th wedding anniversary. And
Congratulations.
I've lost about 30 pounds over the last 6 months and was feeling great. Had some cute tops. I kind of liked the way they looked on me at home. They were great. And, wore it to the fancy night. And then we did a special, the chef's table for our anniversary dinner. And had on a pretty blue dress, and somebody was like, "Oh, I like your dress." Then I saw the pictures. And I hated them. I hated the way I looked in them. And now I'm just inundated with a lot of negative self-talk, and I don't know how to make it stop.
Okay, so this is a great example of noticing. When you were in the moment, you were telling yourself you looked cute, you were on this trip, you were out of your own self-judgment, you were listening to other people saying you looked good, and you were having a good time. And then you saw a photo, and all this judgment came in. So to me, what it sounds like is the version of you that's judging. She is not in your head, in the you in the picture's head. I want you to think about you in the picture. And when you look at the picture, think, what was she thinking? What was she telling herself? What was that? Do you remember?
Else, this cute top, and you're having a good time with your husband, and we had a great time, and was probably more intimate on that trip than we had been over the last 6 months altogether. Because perimenopause, decreased sex drive, etc. But
You were.
yeah.
So if there you were having a great time, feeling great, having the intimacy that you sounds like you wanted, enjoying it. Which one do you want to listen to now? Because one of them's making you cry.
Oh. Yeah, I want to go back to the one having fun.
So then let's make sure when we look at pictures, we don't just take the first judgment thought that comes to your head. If that's what we were doing, like about what I talked about my dream, then I guess I'm a lesbian and that's it. And I'm gonna get a divorce now because I don't like I had some thoughts, like, no. So you get to choose. This is the moment to choose. And this is why we talk about journaling in the membership too, because what we want to do is we need to see these thoughts, because otherwise you'd just be crying and going, I don't know why I'm crying. So we need to see, this is why I'm emotional. This is what is bothering me. I'm looking at this photo and I'm thinking, doo, doo, doo. This is what I'm thinking. I don't look good. I don't look the way I thought I looked, whatever it is. Well, who gives a shit? Except you now. What we do know, facts we know about that photo are they are, it's a representation of the amazing trip that you had. You had a lot of fun, a lot of intimacy, 20th anniversary. Fantastic. We want to think about what it represents and not change our identity based on it. Because I bet you don't want to go back and take all that away.
Oh no, that will not.
And that, you watch this back, Mary, because the way you lit up when I said that, that's the inner spark you want to go back to and remember. Sounds like you had a great time on that trip.
Oh,
So
yeah, it
don't
was a
let your
blast.
judgment today about how you looked in some photo when you know you were having a fantastic time get in between you and that. Now, not to say you can't have goals, not to say you can't work on losing weight if that's what you want, or body shape, or whatever. You can do all those things. But it's going to be a hell of a lot easier if you do it from a place of love, from a place of let's see what I can do. Then, oh my God, I don't want to look like that. Like, that's a kind of not going to feel great.
Very true.
All right, so what are you going to do the next time you look at a photo and you think, I don't know, I don't like the way I look? What are you going to ask yourself or say to yourself?
It's like, oh, no. Remember what you were feeling that day. That was a great dinner. You had fun.
Yeah, try to look inside the mind of the person in the photo. Like, and if it was a shitty day, then rip up the photo. You don't need the photo. Honestly. Don't
Yeah,
need that book.
fortunately it was not shitty.
Yeah, so let's not cast a shadow on it with our judgment thoughts today.
And of course now I'm like, wow, I almost look bald.
Yes.
Oh,
So when you watch this back, when you watch this back, I want you to practice what you learned here today. I want you
definitely.
to practice it and think about the you that was so brave to put up her hand to get coached to talk this through and to not just sit in that emotion of not liking the way you looked in that photo and letting it sort of, like I say, cast a shadow on that memory of the trip.
Now
It's
and
very,
not fester.
yeah, exactly. Not fester in that. Fester how amazing the trip was. Like, I find those trips like that, yes, they help my sex life for a while because you just keep remembering that. And now you're home and now you try some more things at home and it's great. So use it for that, Mary.
Will do.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you so much. All righty.
Okay.
I will put you back down. There we go. So we have another some questions in the Q&A, and I'm going to get to those in the chat. Yeah, Regina, I don't know if it's Regina or Regina. I'm also going away in November. Can't wait for it as well. Journaling about the good parts of the trip. Yes. All right. So questions we have in the Q&A. I've struggled with sex for a very long time. First, it takes me forever to get into the headspace to even fool around. My husband is very sweet to me and will do anything I ask. I cannot get turned on without the help of gummies. Is there something else I can do? I do have some past trauma, but I have been married 25 years, so I would think I would be past that by now. Well, there's another should. Like you, well, you should be past that by now. Well, maybe you are on a regular basis, but it makes sense when you're working on being intimate that possibly that's why it's coming up again. So we want to prepare ourselves for, here's what I'm going to tell myself when it comes up. A lot of times our brains and our trauma and our feelings just want to be heard. So we want to make sure we're not dismissing it and telling ourselves, well, you should be past that by now. Who says? I feel guilty for needing the marijuana, but I want to be able to be with my spouse and feel comfortable to experiment. Okay, so one, why do you need to feel guilty about the marijuana? My understanding, there's like, yeah, it does heighten, it can heighten things. Oh God, that's part of how my husband and I first got together. I used to always tell him I get so turned on when I would get high. And you know what he always did? Tried to get me high, right? So, I mean, but you get to decide, why do I feel guilty? You're feeling guilty because of some identity you've got and some should that's going on that you shouldn't have to use that. And it's likely that you don't have to use it, you just are. So I can get to orgasm by myself, but when he does it, anything, it doesn't work. I can't. I'm in my head and not sure how to stop overthinking. Okay, so yes, working on getting out of your head is a big thing. It is just the, you know, that mind chatter, and it's, you can practice it outside of intercourse or sex by working on that mind-body connection, doing some meditating, really thinking about, okay, getting out of your head and practicing. At the very beginning of this call, we talked about a body scan. Practice a body scan of really paying attention to how each part of your body feels, right? How does your body feel? Because that will get you out of your head and into your body and experiencing that. So that's the one way to practice it, is just to kind of go through your body, close your eyes, breathe, and say, okay, what does my finger feel like? What does my foot feel like? Right. So I want you to think about that's one way to practice that. The other thing to think about that we really want to pay attention to is it is very common, it's very normal for a woman to be able to orgasm by herself and not with a partner. So now I know you said, whatever he does, nothing that he does works. It's going to take more time when he does it. Like, I don't know about any of you, but like, you think about when you masturbate, like how long it takes for you to actually get off. If you really thought about it and were working on it, how long would it take? It's going to take way longer when you're with somebody else because you are having other thoughts and feelings and they're not you. So either you're going to have to be directing them, or sometimes I just take over even while even when I'm with him. But I enjoy the first part of it when he's trying to do his thing too. So I want you to think about, how can I experiment more, take the shoulds out of it, and start the getting turned on part ahead of time. My husband and I haven't had sex in, I don't know, it's probably a week or two weeks. I don't know. Is it probably 2 or 3 weeks now? I can't actually remember. So, but he has been flirting with me something fierce for the several days now. I need that. I need that to get me in the mood, to get me, to get the blood flowing. So so that I will be ready, and then we will, be comfortable and be open, and I'll be ready to do it in the moment. But so think about what is it I need, and if you need the gummies, why does it actually matter? You get to decide. So, and I've been married for 28 years. So, yeah, I want you to let go of some of that judgment and work on that. All right. How do I stop feeling so bad for my husband that he has a fat wife? He deserves so much better. I was 135 when we started dating. Today, after 3 years, I'm 290. So I want you to, this is anonymous attendee again. That is your judgment of it. Honestly, that is your judgment of it. I'd be questioning if your husband is saying the same thing or not. My husband has never once cared how much I weighed. Like at my heaviest, at my lowest, he was never more turned on and more capable at sex. Nope, he still needs the pills and whatever. And that has nothing to do with it, right? So this is your judgment and the thing you're saying to yourself and trying to make yourself feel like shit. And I want you to just stop that. That's not fair. You don't deserve that. Whatever he deserves, I don't know. But you, anonymous attendee, you don't deserve that. Okay. So, this is the part you got to question. The only person you can control and that you can manage the thinking of is yourself. So you think about that and think, how can I take care of me in a way that's going to support me going after my goals? Because if you continue to talk to yourself like this, it's going to make everything else much more difficult because that judgment is going to come up and it's going to get in the way, right? That's part of the identity I want you all to work with. You are trying to identify as, oh, I'm just this fat wife with a husband who deserves so much better. No, how about you deserve so much better and work on the four basics? That's it. That's how you're going to lose any weight regardless, but it's going to come from doing the four basics. And one of those basics is now self-care. So I want you to think about that. Okay, we answered that one. I was in a sexless marriage for 25 years, divorced him a year ago. Still have not wanted to explore or have any interest in sex. It's like that part of me does not exist. So sad about my lack of sex in my vibrant years between 28 and 55. Yeah, because again, this is a situation where you've got this should on yourself. Do you know how many women I have talked to who said the best sex they've ever had was over 55? And you're telling yourself, well, these are my vibrant years. You're just telling yourself that, and you're making yourself feel like crap. Again, I'm going to say the same thing. Stop that. We've got to stand up for ourselves, ladies. We've got to start treating ourselves in a way that we deserve to be treated. So if you're not interested in exploring sex, you're not interested in exploring sex. That's fine. You be ready when you're ready, right? When you're ready, then you come on this call, you raise your hand, and let's talk about what that looks like being ready to start exploring sex. You have no idea if these are your vibrant years or not. You're just telling yourself that to feel like shit. So, no more shoulding, okay, ladies? Nothing, no more shoulding. We're not going to should ourselves with this kind of shit anymore, okay? So, there are a lot of people for whom sex drive doesn't exist. That's not a problem. And it's very normal. And I think we all got to stop telling ourselves that stuff isn't normal because it is. It's very normal, whether you want to have sex every single day or you don't want to have sex for months at a time. It's all normal until you tell yourself it's not. And then it's like, oh, now I guess that's my identity. It's not normal. I'm not normal when you really are. Okay, I've answered that. It takes more time, and that is normal. Yes, so it does. It takes more time when you're with someone else. Of course it does. There's more to think about. Very similar to what I said to Amy, I think it was Amy, about the candle. Like some people love candles. You know what? Some people find them really distracting. So you gotta find what's right for you and know that it's very normal for it to take a lot longer to reach an orgasm when you're with someone else. So, last question is, I'm a newly widowed woman who misses being intimate. What can I do to feel more satisfied? He was the only one I was ever with and married for 52 years. Yes. So what I want you to do is you can start exploring. It's normal. He was the only one you were with. So now you can explore that intimacy. Think about what that looks like for you. If you have anybody that's well, you said you're newly widowed, so likely there's not anybody you're really interested in dating or going out with, but you can create that intimacy with yourself, right? Think about how you like to be intimate, how you want to connect with yourself, and what feels satisfying for you. That's how you're going to get to that point, is by asking yourself, what feels satisfying for me? What does create an intimate experience for me? And then start doing that. That's what you can do. All right. We have gone over tonight, but such amazing questions. And I'm so glad to see everybody raising their hands. Like I said, the next call is in 2 weeks, May 13th. So make sure you all show up to that call. I will finish our talk about our identity, and maybe we'll get into that a little bit more. I think we covered a lot of it tonight. But it's just really think about the identity that you're creating, and that it doesn't just come from one thought. It's going to come from how you show up, what you do, and how you end up living that identity too. All right. Thank you all. It was great to see you all tonight. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.